Greetings and salutations to all my wildlings out there on the Wildernet. Thank you for tuning in to episode 4 of the Sean vs. Wild podcast. If you can hear this, this means we were successfully able to survive the first 96 hours or so of Donald Trump being president of the United States. And to celebrate our survival out here in the wild, I'm going to do something different today. Today's episode, it's going to be huge. I'm going to, one, give you a non-music-related show today. My goal for this podcast overall is to showcase all of my friends out there making moves in all walks of life and have a discussion and allow you to get to know them and to be inspired and check out their work. So I do hope you enjoy this change in format this week with my guest, professional bodybuilder, fitness model, personal trainer, and all-around inspiration, Autumn Cleveland. And also, two, I'm going to give you a song right off the bat, right off the fox bat. It's only fitting that with the recent inauguration, we do something to commemorate this historical event. So why not have a song written about and for our president? So this week's song is The Great Redneck Hope by Foxbat.
Holding down for fighter, finger till they succeed. White brothers got to dance.
right, guys, that was the Great Redneck Hope by Foxbat. Big thanks to them for being such huge supporters of the show. And speaking of the show, today's guest, Autumn Cleveland, has a big show coming up. I'm talking about the Arnold Sports Festival in Columbus, Ohio. And she needs your votes in the Arnold model search. There will be links in the show notes where you can vote for Autumn. Please vote every day. Voting is going to end January 30th of 2017. Also, if you want to know more about her after the podcast, she is the subject of Bodybuilding Motivation, a documentary on YouTube. Again, links in the show notes. Please check it out. And Autumn also requests that if you like what you see, if you want to support her, please do so instead by making a contribution to her favorite charity, the Special Olympics. And if you want to support the Sean vs. Wild podcast, please do so by liking, sharing, subscribing, telling your friends, and giving the show that 5-star Meow Meow Beans rating that I'm always jonesing for. You can do that on iTunes. You can also find it at SeanVsWild.com, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, all your favorite podcasting apps for Android, and keep up with the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All right, everybody, I've overstayed my welcome. You have all the facts. That's enough from me. Now, let's get wild. Your head is abnormally
small. It's child-sized.
It is child-sized. So let me ask you this question before we get started, because I did run into you at Target, and you're talking about how you're always at Target. And you got a coffee. The big thing about Target for me is, are you one of those people that get a coffee and then shop?
Not normally.
That blows my mind when people do that. I'm like, why do you want one less available hand to pick up merchandise with?
Well, more importantly, what if I set down my coffee and then I'll walk off without it and then I'm pissed because I paid for a whole cup of coffee and I can't find it?
Yeah, or what if you're trying to like get something off the shelf and you just spill it?
That happened to my friend.
That's what I'm saying.
We ran.
And that's like with the temperature, I'm saying that's going to be a lawsuit. I also found out the other day that Kenny G is one of the first sponsors, like first investors of Starbucks. He sold over 100 million records, and he's made more money off of his Starbucks investment than he has on his music career.
I believe that.
Isn't that nuts?
Starbucks is like it's a weird cult addiction.
I think so, too. I like it, but I also don't mind making coffee at home.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's a treat. But really, there's a lot of local places around here I like better, but Starbucks is everywhere.
Yeah, there's one right here by this. And you know,
right there.
Right there at the Target.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. This is a Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thriller Smith. And on the podcast today, I have a good friend of mine from high school, bringing it back, Autumn Cleveland. She is a professional fitness model, professional personal trainer, all around badass.
Professional badass.
And and I'm just going to read off here just some of your background as far as all these things that you've done. First runner-up at the 2016 Arnold Model Search. You're featured on Drop Dead Fit Magazine, NPC News Online, Midwest Muscle Report, HD Physiques, Her Biceps, promoting women in bodybuilding, fitness, and MMA, Hooters International Swimsuit Pageant and Calendar, Best Damn Sports Show, Arnold Sports Festival Expo, Misfit Kentucky Calendar. I'm just going to stop there. But people know you have some accolades now.
I did some stuff.
You've done some stuff. And you are in tremendous physical condition, may I add.
Thank you.
Well, you are welcome.
It's a lot of work.
As soon as I walked in here, I was like, I am going to suck in this gut just a little bit. I'm wearing a hooded sweatshirt sponsored by a pizza restaurant.
I actually like their pizza a lot. My only complaint is that it takes so freaking long.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to tell the higher-ups what you think about this.
Yeah, man. I mean, unless they've changed something, but their pizza is fantastic. Did you know they have a secret chicken and waffle pizza?
I did know this.
I'm
familiar with this.
So I guess it's not a secret.
Just not to me. But again, I like pizza so much, I have a sweatshirt.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I'm wearing a Spinelli sweatshirt. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and crack that Da Vinci Code right off
the bat. I was going to see if they could guess.
It's a Spinelli's.
Well, they get a prize.
Yes, that's true. So, all right, Autumn. Well, here we are. We are in a gym. We are in the factory gym off Hurstbourne, hardcore since 84. And you told me as soon as I came in, like, this is your home.
Yeah, I'm here all day training my clients. And in between that, do my own workouts, sometimes up to 3 times a day. So,
what's your normal, like, routine like? What does that consist of for someone that's doing what you're doing at your level?
It really depends on the season. The actions are always the same, but depending on what's going on. Things can intensify, or the frequency intensifies. So always lift, always follow my diet. Always have to get the rest of my business day in order. So generally I'll alternate between like computer days where I have to write diets and programs and monitor updates and communicate with my clients with emails. But then other days I'm here at the gym where I do like personal training sessions, or I teach competition posing to other athletes. So I'm at the gym about half the week just for work, but 4 to 5 days a week I'm lifting. Depending on the season, I'll do cardio. Sometimes it's not at all. Sometimes it's 7 days a week, sometimes twice a day. So it just depends. If I'm getting ready for a contest, that's a third job that I'm not getting paid for.
Right.
So, but if it's downtime, I actually try to get away from the gym when I don't have to be here, because I don't want to get burnt out.
Right.
Sometimes I'll go to other gyms just for a change of scenery. Sometimes it's nice to get away from the feeling of having to talk. I know that sounds like a bad thing, but really, I talk a lot because I like everybody here and I get distracted, or it's just exhausting. And so like sometimes I'll kind of go hide in a hole just so that I can focus and get my work done. And sometimes I'm just in a bad mood and I really just want to lift angrily and not have anyone come up and talk to me about it.
Right.
So I just like to get away.
Just whatever you do, don't go to Planet Fitness. I heard that they will.
Yeah.
They frown upon you grunting and groaning.
Yeah. If someone has to use a Planet Fitness, that's better than nothing, but I really don't have anything good to say about that.
You heard it, guys. Autumn is not sponsored by Planet Fitness.
No.
For me, if you like the Planet Fitness, just keep going there. It's economical. It's better, like she said.
It really is. You know,
it's better,
I mean,
than not going.
I hate to, like, I personally wouldn't prefer to go there, but then again, if that was my only option, that's your only option.
I just go there for the pizza on Friday.
Yeah, and I think it's the weird reverse attitude thing that I don't like about it, just to clarify, like, it's an odd, like, no bodybuilders allowed, and it's like, why is that any different than me saying no other type of person allowed? Like, I think that's really shitty. So if I want to go, I don't know, I mean, like, I just don't see what's so intimidating about pushing yourself.
There's nothing wrong with it. And it looks like you've, like I said, you're in top physical condition. When's your next, I guess, contest coming up? Are you going to start, like, training? Are you going to go full ham?
That's kind of a funny question. Like, so last year,
the Arnold coming up, right?
Yeah, yeah. Which is why I'm choosing that right now, because last year I dieted for 9 months, no breaks, and it was the longest push I've ever had for a year. I mean, that was really rough. So it was worth it. But just over the last 3 months, when everything calmed down, you know, I have to prioritize the rest of my life and the people in my life, you know, like my friends, my family, my boyfriend.
Absolutely.
Like, so it's important that I keep that balance. And if I can't do that, you know, then I might sacrifice some for a contest for a short amount of time, but then I have to put that down and make sure I'm being a good coach, a good trainer, a good friend,
right,
a good girlfriend, you know, all these things, all these other roles other than being a competitor. And also, like, it's not fun. Like,
sure.
I can't just go eat whenever I feel like it, or go have a beer. I really like beer.
Right.
But I only get to enjoy that part so many times a year without feeling guilty. And it just emotionally, it wears on you. I mean, I don't know to get too in-depth with this, but I've been trying to meet the same goal for 14 years now. I'm getting fucking tired.
I can only imagine. Like, I mean, it's hard enough for most people to keep a diet for a month, and that is going to be just, hey, you're going to cut out sweets, or hey, we're going to cut out this, or we're going to go to the gym one day a week. You're in here. You live in this lifestyle 24/7.
It's a major sacrifice. To me, it's worth it just because I feel like I keep improving, and I keep learning from it. And I do love it, but just like if you love anything else, you need to step away from it to appreciate it and then get your head straight. So like I purposely step away from my sport. I try not to go too far the other direction, because that just makes it harder later. So right now I'm just coming out of that, like, I don't want to, like, just a month ago, I was like, I don't want anything to do with fitness. I don't want to work out. I don't want to eat right.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to go have drinks and dance once in a while. And so, like, or even just chill out and just be lazy. I don't watch TV hardly ever. So, like, just to watch a movie is
it's a treat.
Yeah. So I just wanted a few weeks to get into some of my other hobbies that I haven't done in 10 years. And so, like, I did do that. I satisfied that. And so
I've been noticing on social media your artwork, and some of it is tremendous. I didn't even know you had this, like, artistic ability like that. It's it's pretty impressive.
Thank you. That was something I felt like I lost touch with. Like, that's, I'm a creative person, and I have to have other outlets. And I know with fitness, it's easy to, like, I'm very fortunate that I have the life that I have and that I've created it, and all the people who have helped me create this life. But what I realized was I was getting too one-dimensional for what I felt like. You know, I feel like I'm a multidimensional person, and I have a lot of other interests, and I wasn't paying attention to that. And, you know, I did what I had to do for fitness and to create my business. But, yeah, I wanted to paint. I'm starting to learn how to DJ. I don't want to call myself a DJ because I'm not. But I'm just learning that just because, like, I have always had an interest in that. So these are things that are very important. And I've made some time for them, and I'm getting back into them. So now I'm starting to get to the point where I'm enjoying fitness again. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to set small goals and just see how I feel. I've kind of recognized that with myself, I make the mistake of picking a show date and then pressuring myself into doing it when that might not be the wise choice. So right now I'm going to use the Arnold model search because I know I had so much fun last year. It's really zero pressure. There's a lot of opportunity, and it's just a lot of fun. So that's in 6 or 7 weeks. So I'm going to start there. And after that, if I feel good and things are on the right track and my life is in balance and I'm still enjoying it, then I might continue on to another national level show this year. But I'm not saying I'm going to do it yet.
No pressure.
Yeah, I don't want to pressure myself.
I gotcha. Well, and I have to ask you about this because you said you did the Arnold last year, but anybody that stalks your Instagram or Facebook will probably have noticed a photo of you and Arnold.
Best photo in the world.
What was that like to meet the Terminator himself?
It was funny, really. Like, it was really... So I guess, like, the people who were finalists at the show, we all, after we were presented on stage, everybody got to go back and take, like, a group picture with Arnold. So that was cool. But all the people were running up, and they were trying to get in his face and asking questions and stuff. I'm like, I'm just going to sit back and just enjoy the moment and not, you know, try to be all starstruck. But then, ironically, the next day, we were presenting trophies on a stage, and it was, like, the end of this event that we were presenting trophies for. And Arnold was to take the last trophy out. So there was probably 5 minutes where it was just like 5 or 6 stairs behind this curtain. And I was at the top of the stairs and he was at the bottom of the stairs. And I started to use the rail and another guy reached his hand out to help me. And Arnold goes, no, don't help her. He goes, if she falls, I'll catch her. So I was like, oh my God, Arnold just offered to save me. So
fantastic.
Yeah. And so this is the worst part of that situation was he was really chill. And like I said, we had all this time, so I was like, I'm going to grab my phone real quick and ask him for a picture. So I grabbed my phone, and I was like, hey, Arnold, can I get a picture with you? And he goes, no, take a selfie. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so bad at taking selfies. So I had to turn the camera around, which I hate. You know, you get the one where your phone's real close to your face and up your nose.
Every photo that I've ever taken is – if I get one good selfie, it's only because there was – 38 deleted selfies.
Yeah, like the double chin part, like where you go up instead of down. Like,
my phone does this thing where if I take a selfie, like I'll make it to where I'm like, this looks fantastic. Click it, and then it will just do the mirror image. Like, it'll reverse, and I'm like, how did I go from looking so tight to looking like an idiot?
Dude, girls have this down to a science. I mean, it is impressive what they can do with the camera. And so I was like, oh, sure, I can do that. So I, like, turned it around. Luckily, I got the picture because then I flipped it to video. And I asked him, I said, Arnold, I said, if you could say anything to Instagram, to the world, I was like, what would you say? And he goes, he said, don't worry about anything, just smile. I was like, this is perfect. It was like 5 seconds. I was going to put it on Instagram. I walk off, I go watch the video, and there's a nice video of me walking away from Arnold because I didn't hit record.
Oh, man.
So I am so bad with technology.
Well, now it's finally out there to the world. What Arnold said to you, that's great advice.
Yeah, so there is what he said, if anyone wants to believe me.
I had a similar run-in, not with Arnold, but it's kind of a funny story, with Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, but so that was a funny interaction.
It is, and let me tell you, so I was at Comic-Con. A couple years ago in Indianapolis, Lou Ferrigno was there. No, I did not get his autograph. I didn't stand in line. I stood in line for like 2 hours to get the Bella Twins from WWE's autograph.
That's different.
Yeah, sorry. You like looked at me immediately. You were disappointed. You're like, oh, my God. Anyway, so I'm in the bathroom, and like I'm just, you know, at one of the urinals, and then who comes up right next to me in this urinal than Lou Ferrigno. And if you ever want to feel like a fat loser with a skinny wiener, just pee next to Lou Ferrigno, guys. You heard it here first. But, you know, I did get to see Lou Ferrigno and I did pee next to each other.
That's a good bonding moment.
I know. Isn't that a weird story? Like, and it's funny that I just mentioned that to you, like, share that with you. I'm like, that's cool. Lou Ferrigno.
Like, that's a thing that guys need to know.
Yeah. Just so for all you listeners out there, Lou Ferrigno, he'll probably be at Comic-Con this year, so hit him up. All right, but and I mentioned earlier that we did go to high school together. I wanted to, that's one of the big things why I wanted to have you on the show, just because I feel like, for one, I hit everybody back to back to back with three musical guests, and I want to show that the show has some diversity, but I also want to just showcase what you're doing, because you're out there making moves, and you've overcome so much, I feel like, too. Can you just talk briefly about, like, what is your backstory, and how did that backstory get you into bodybuilding or get you into fitness modeling?
I'd definitely talk about it. I'll try to give you the not the long-winded story, but there were some key points of that. Basically, I'd switched schools in middle school to Charlestown. I knew like one person there that I'd had gone to elementary school with, and that, I think my first day I made one other friend, and after that it was, people weren't really warm. I guess just because I was a new person there. It's not even like I started the middle of the semester.
Because you were a noob.
Yeah, I was like a weirdo. So, I don't know. I don't really know what happened. But within the first 2 months of being there, this girl who was in my one of my classes, she comes up to me and she said, "Hey, that girl wants to beat you up." And I was like, "Why?" I was like, "What the fuck did I do to you?" No. And there was this, I was in seventh grade, and there was this group of eighth grade girls who I really had no idea, but I think they were the more popular girls. I'll try to leave names out of the story, but y'all know who you are. So
you heard it, guys.
You know that you
if
did.
If you're listening, and I'm sure you are.
They're probably not.
They are, but probably not.
But, right. I didn't really understand what the issue was. So you start to get that nervous feeling, like, oh, what do I do? And you start watching your back and thinking, oh, they're going to come beat me up. So then the girl comes up to me and she goes, "I don't want to fight you." And I was like, okay, then we're cool. Like, I didn't understand where that came from. And that was bullshit because, well, I say that was like seventh grade. For the next, I'd say at least 2 years of middle school, high school-ish, that was at the stage where I think what the issue was, that I was like super, super skinny. And that's just how I was.
Do you think people were intimidated?
Feel
threatened maybe socially?
No, girls are just weird. Girls are so weird. Like, they don't know how to compliment someone properly. And I felt like half the time they weren't trying to be mean, but what they said, especially when you're already insecure about your body, what they said was the wrong thing to say.
Right.
And the every time they like say, "Oh, you're so skinny, you look sick," or "You're disgusting." Like, who the fuck wants to hear they're disgusting on a daily basis?
That's true.
And not only that, it sucked because I wanted to wear Lucky brand jeans like the popular girls, but the jeans didn't fit from the buckle, damn it, from River Falls Mall. Green Tree Mall, I don't know. So that's all I wanted, was like wear cool clothes, but at the same time, because I was so skinny, nothing fit. So it's like it was either too big and baggy, or I had like high waters, or I would raise my hand in class and my stomach would show because my shirt was too short because it was for children. So I didn't feel good in my clothes, and that was another thing, is like I felt like that was just girls did not handle that well, because I don't think they knew that I wasn't feeling good already. I think they thought that I was showing off,
right,
or whatever. And so it was weird. They would just always talk about how gross I was looking, and so that didn't make me want to hang out with girls very much. So I started hanging out with dudes, because dudes are very much less drama, and they don't care, and they're funny, and they're nice. And so that ended up causing more problems in high school, just because I was hanging out
like
with dudes.
It was just like mean girls at Charlestown High School, it seems.
Yeah,
like,
they act like they run shit, and it's Charlestown High School. Like, but, and the irony of it is like, I didn't do anything to anyone.
Right. You're always cool in my book. You're always cool with me, nice, kind of quiet. I mean, we had a couple years difference, so it's not like we ever hung out. But whenever I think we had lunch at the same time, you know, it was always like, you always seemed fine to me.
I just, you know, I don't think I talk behind people's backs. I never talk shit. I was too scared. I wasn't confident in myself to even do that, because how would I back it up? But
is that what brought you to start going to the gym, you think?
No.
Just a lack of confidence?
Well, part of it, definitely part of it. It just got to the point where every day I felt like I was going to get, you know, I was afraid of getting jumped.
Yeah.
And I was like, if anybody touches me, how am I going to even defend myself? Like, I don't feel strong. It was definitely a confidence thing. Not just in my looks, but just, you know, standing up for myself. And I don't fight. I'm not a fighter. My dad's always raised me to, he's, you know, if not to start fights or touch anybody, but if they touch me, to make them wish they didn't. And that was the key. I was like, I can't make someone wish they didn't, because I couldn't hurt. Right. You know the dreams where you have where you punch something and it feels like you're punching the Pillsbury Doughboy and you don't hurt anything?
Yes.
That's what I'm pretty sure my real life would have been like.
Right.
So I was like, I can't. I just did not feel like I could even defend myself at all. And so I remember, I think the last, I don't remember what set me off to my dad, but I ended up telling my, oh, I know what it was. I was getting like really harassing phone calls, and my dad happened to pick up the phone when one of these girls were saying some really nasty shit, and I hung up the phone. I was crying. He came upstairs and he asked who it was. I told him everything that happened like the last couple of years, and he called back, tried to like, you know, reverse the call and like talk to her mom or whatever, which was even more embarrassing. So I was like, great, now my parents are involved. But after that, I just, he started teaching me how to lift weights. And I mean, my dad's in shape. He's a cop. So for his job. So he taught me what he knew. And just immediately I felt like I was in a place where I was good at something.
Right.
And that nobody was going to judge me. And I started to look differently. My clothes started to fit differently. And I did feel stronger. I didn't feel like I could kick anybody's ass yet, but I still felt like better about myself. And so that's where it started, I think, was it was more of a defense. Like,
Right. Like
if somebody hits me, how, you know, then what?
Right. So, and if you work out scared. And you look as jacked as you do, nobody's going to mess with you in the first place. They might think twice about it.
I feel like, honestly, like I had a good upbringing and like a good childhood and a good high school experience. But I was on the opposite end where I was definitely not the thin guy or too thin. I was very overweight in high school. Now, granted, a lot of times when people become overweight, they develop a very fun and outgoing personality, which saved me, you know what I'm saying? But a few years ago, you know, I decided too, like, that it kind of weighs on you. And after a while, like, just enough is enough. And you're tired of kind of missing out on certain things. And I felt like it affected my personal life, any kind of romantic relationships or anything like that. And so, like, I just decided, I was like, I'm going to hit the gym, and I got super.
I remember that.
I got super thin. Of course, I got fat again. Damn it. But, you know, now that I've, like, learned enough to know that, like, you know, you can always come back. You can always hit
it harder. Once you do it, when you do it once, you can always do it again.
Yeah.
It's just a decision.
It's just, you got to just stay disciplined. You know what I'm saying? Life happens. It's a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
Life is going to come out and happen, and even when you least expect it.
Yeah.
What would you, what kind of advice would you give somebody, since, you know, this will air while we're still in January, and I feel like a lot of times people sign up for their gym memberships in January, they've got resolutions and stuff like that. What kind of advice would you give anybody that's just looking to start or continue or get back on, like, some sort of fitness journey or something of that?
There's actually a lot of points that I feel like I could make on this, but I mean, the first thing is, you know, you don't really even have to have a plan necessarily, but you do have to have action.
Right.
And so
you can talk about it all you want. You can Facebook about it all you want.
Or you can say, like, oh, I'm going to do this very strategic program. If that helps you, great. But if you don't have anything in mind, just go to the gym. Once you get there, there's nearly nothing else to do except move some stuff.
Sure.
So just get there and do something. But I do think having a plan is a good idea, as long as you carry it out. But again, just deciding what you're going to do. So, like, if you say, like, I'm going to shoot for this goal, along with what comes with decision is a lot of sets of opportunities to do things. And so if all of your actions work toward the goal, then you're going to reach the goal. I mean, I do not believe that someone can take all the right actions and not get the right result.
Right.
I don't believe that. I believe that there's error in your right. So
you're going to come up short in something, you know.
Yeah, but something else I always like to stress is, like, nobody's perfect, and you don't have to be perfect to make progress.
Right.
And so I think it's also important just to take things in, like, baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of worrying about sodium when you're still going out and drinking every day, probably not really the most important thing. Or they want to worry about you know, certain technique on exercise, as long as your form is good, just do it until you get to a point where you feel like you can advance from there. But, you know, eating is going to be the main thing, and you can make a healthy decision wherever you go.
Right.
Or you can choose to go somewhere that, you know, if you know that place doesn't have any options, don't go there. So that's what I mean about making decisions, is like, you don't have to full on meal prep like a bodybuilder, but you do have to make choices and inform yourself and educate yourself and try. So that's what I would say for someone who's starting, is just to do those things, and also not to beat yourself up if you don't do it perfectly, if you think you fail. Like, if you messed up one day, keep going. Like, just start over the next day. That's not a big deal. And one of my favorite quotes is, you wouldn't slash your other three tires just because you got a flat.
That's true.
And that's exactly what every day I'll hear people, they say, like, oh, I did great. I had breakfast, lunch, and then for dinner I had a pint of ice cream. Cool. Start over the next day. Like, yeah. don't look back. Like,
that's that is key. And I think failure is something that lately, especially with like social media and stuff like that, I feel like people are very worried about failing, because when you fail, especially like in this day and age, in a technological age, if you fail, somebody could film that and show that failure, and your failure you'll never live it down. But
yeah.
To be honest with you, failure to me, I've learned this the hard way. Like, I wanted to do this podcast, okay, after failing time and time and time again in my musical career. Now I'm failing time and time again on my podcasting career. And every episode, there's something that you have to work out, and something that I didn't do right, or something that I could do better. And that failure is something that when you actually, you know, are able to set up a plan to overcome it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just makes you stronger.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think... like, I've gotten really, really good at failing with a lot of things.
I fail all the time.
But that's what makes you, as long as you come back, then it's still benefiting you. And like you just said, like, you just learn one thing after another. And if you look at, have you ever, you gotta look this up at some point. There's like a link or an article that talks about the top 10 most successful people, and it shows their rejection letters.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's like Walt Disney, I think Oprah's on there. Like, there's some big names where people, you can see the letters where people turn them down. And that's just, to me, the coolest thing. It's like, okay, they didn't stop there.
Yeah.
And just because one person didn't like what they had to say, they just kept going, and eventually somebody would do it.
I'm a big fan of like Tim Ferriss. I don't know if you're familiar with him in the fitness world. He has podcasts. He has a website just devoted to like life hacking, but he came out with a 4-hour body.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. But he's a guy that basically will just stress the importance of, you know, it's the only failure is, you know, not doing something.
Especially in this. Like, you have to, all it is just consistency and repetition.
Sure.
Whatever you do consistently, if it's a bad habit, that's the result you're going to get. If you have a good habit that's consistent, that's what you're going to get. But not one little thing, good or, like, someone put this in perspective for me once, that, you know, if you eat one bad meal out of a lot of good meals, it's not going to hurt you, just like one good meal isn't going to save you out of a lot of bad meals.
That's
so
true.
It's kind of a nice way to flip that and say, yeah, just because you eat good one day, that's not consistent. So that's the longevity of fitness, I could say. It's just the repetition and consistency.
Well, and I also noticed too online, you have like a little Kickstart.
I do have that
program. Why don't you tell the listeners out there about like Kickstart and where they can find that?
That is actually designed for the but I don't really want to say beginner, even, because I have several clients who they've competed or they've been following their diet for a long time, but this is a good base. So right now I've got some clients who are going through some health issues or some work stress, or they're moving and they cannot and do not want to prep their food and be so involved and make the sacrifices like we were talking about earlier. So this is just a good start for anyone, not just people who are just getting into fitness, but even people who just need like a break from the measurements or obsessing about numbers, because that's another thing that we do, is freak out about numbers. So It's just a very general, basic setup for a gym workout. It's nothing crazy. It's not going to get you shredded and six-pack abs in 6 weeks. It's really not going to. It's not really directed at body composition so much as it is just practicing habits. And
right.
So I think there's like maybe just 4 meals on there. And usually, if I'm personalizing a diet, that person's probably going to have somewhere between 5 and 8 meals, depending on the person. Sometimes 9. So this isn't that. This isn't here, I want to get ready for my competition or my wedding necessarily. Not to say that that couldn't work. That's just not how it's designed necessarily. But it's a good foundational basic diet. And it shouldn't, it's, I tried to write it so that it wasn't intimidating to people. Because I think a lot of times when they see all of the things they're supposed to, they realize that it is a lot of work. It's not easy. And so this is just that starter point. And then if they follow it for a few weeks, and that was another thing I meant to say earlier, is for the people who are beginning, is to stick with whatever they choose to do for at least a month to see if it needs tweaking. Because it takes me about 2 weeks to get into my diet and do it right. And then go for adjustment. So if they try the Kickstart thing, give it, I don't know, three to six weeks and make sure that they're doing the best that they can. And if they can say, like, okay, I think I'm on a level, I'm comfortable with this, I feel in control of this, and now I'm ready to advance, then there's other programs or, you know, more structured, tailored things that we can do. But I tried to make this to be less intimidating.
Where can people find Kickstart?
They can go to my website, which is autumncleveland.com. I think the link's up. If it's not, then I need to put that up there now.
So autumn like the season, there, but I don't know if Cleveland like the city.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So you can go to autumncleveland.com and check out is it a meal plan? It's a meal plan and a workout plan, correct?
Yeah. Well, it's a general meal plan. So it's not, there's no portions out, just because I have no idea who's going to use this. It could be a 100-pound girl. It could be a 300-pound man. I don't know. And so I don't put portions on there because I don't want to hurt anyone or put them in the hospital if I give them the wrong amount of food. So that's something they would have to kind of play with. But again, like, this is the part where we probably wouldn't focus on numbers as much.
Sure.
But yeah, you can go to that website. There's other things. If they sign up for the email subscription, your recipes sent straight to your email every week, tips, articles. We're working on putting some video stuff up too. So we're looking to build and put more material on the site. So
I feel like you have a great channel. Like, if someone follows you on social media or YouTube, you always have a lot of positive advice, or you always have like some sort of tip or trick or something that can help somebody out and keep them motivated, which I think is important, because no matter if you can lift 1,000 pounds and stuff like that or whatever, you can diet, it doesn't matter unless you're consistent with it, you know.
Yeah,
seems like
exactly.
So I always say, yeah, be consistent. I always say that, guys.
Yeah, every
consistency.
Day. I wake up and I'm like, be consistent.
Sean Consistency Smith. But that's true, because if anyone ever asked me whenever I was losing weight, they're like, you know, what's the secret? And the secret is, like, there is no secret to doing it fast. It's just you got to just do it every day or every other day or whatever you can do, but just do it every time.
You just hit it on the head, like, whatever you can do. And I can tell the people who want it because they find ways.
Sure.
The people who don't want it, which I'm not here to judge, and I'm not here to tell anyone what they should want. That's not my place. I'm just here to, you know, if they say they want something, I know the science behind it, and I've done it, the application. So that's really the only role I can play here. But I can tell the people who like the idea of it, but they're not ready to commit.
Sure.
And they're not willing to do whatever it takes. And that's okay, as long as they're willing to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that. In fact, I've got one client. He comes in every week, and he tells me exactly what he eats, and it's not good. And I say, okay, thanks for telling me, but that really doesn't – I can't help you right now until you're ready to do
Well, you've
got
to be honest with yourself, because I lied to myself for a long time, like a lot of years, and just being like, oh, it's probably just a genetic thing, you know, or it's probably just this or this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's only until I got honest and said, well, like – you know, brother, you're not eating very good. You're not active. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to start focusing on that. And especially with my musical career, I came to a point where it's like, you know, hey, like, Meatloaf made it, but there's not a lot of room for, you know, 300-pound dudes, you know, in music. And, like, that was told to me by a manager. They're like,
think
you
about
know,
that.
They,
the image.
Somebody told me, a manager told me once, and this is probably horrible advice, but it really stuck with me. He's like, you're a rock star. You need to look like you're addicted to drugs, not addicted to McDonald's. And I was like, that was really mean, but it actually makes a lot of sense.
Sometimes truth hurts, man. What you just said is, I've done the exact same thing in my sport. I used to say the same thing, like, oh, I'm not, and my end coming from, I've always been too skinny or too small, and I kept thinking, like, well, I can't put on muscle like those girls because it must be a genetic thing. I just wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. Now, it took me time to learn. I didn't know better at the time.
Right.
But, yeah, I had to get really honest with myself. And it's like, am I doing everything that it takes? And even to this day, the answer is no. I know it isn't, because there's certain substances that I haven't touched.
Right.
So... I'm
meaning you're a natural
bodybuilder. Yeah.
You're a natural bodybuilder or natural fitness model. Mm-hmm. Well, you were telling me earlier, and just to clarify this, because you're basically telling me, like, what would be the difference between bodybuilding in women's bodybuilding now and fitness modeling? And can you elaborate on that? Because it was pretty interesting what you were telling me earlier.
Yeah. And there, the best way for me to describe it is a spectrum. Bodybuilding competitions is sort of like an umbrella term. Of course, there's men's division. There's actually three now. So there's, on that end of the spectrum, men's bodybuilding being the biggest, the leanest, the most freakish looking physiques that you'll ever see. They're looking for abnormal size and vascularity, and just a degree of leanness that's very, very difficult to attain. The middle ground now is classic physique, which is newly introduced this year. And so that's more of the 1970s aesthetically pleasing bodybuilding, like your Arnold Schwarzenegger's, your Franco Colombo's. That's kind of the look
that they're
going. Lou Ferrigno.
Damn you if you're out
there. I'm just trying to leave it out. I don't want to, you know, remind you of that embarrassing time. And then there's men's physique, which is more, if anything, I don't want to say beach body. That's kind of a hard one to pinpoint. I would say... just what you would see on the cover of fitness magazine for men. Again, aesthetics being a big part of it, not as much muscularity. And then the same goes for women. So from the muscular end of the spectrum, women's bodybuilding would have been the biggest, the hardest, the leanest, the most vascular, freakish physiques. But unfortunately, there is that's dwindling in our world. Women's bodybuilding is sort of going away, and it's being replaced with the next division, which is women's physique. And so it's a little less muscular, still pretty lean and still pretty vascular, but they're trying to feminize it a little bit more so it's not becoming too masculine, whereas women's bodybuilding was going that direction, I think. So it's less marketable. So women's physique has some changes to try to keep it more feminine still. And then after that, which is even less muscular, is figure, which is where I stand. That division, they're looking more at your balance, your symmetry. They want you to be muscular in certain areas, like your shoulders and your lats and your quads, but they don't necessarily want you to be thick all over. And they do want a degree of leanness, just not a whole lot of
graininess. Kind of like they want you to look like a athlete.
Yes.
Give you an athletic look.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah. Pushing the athlete spectrum more toward, like, you know, bodybuilding. But then on the other side of that, there's bikini, which is what I would say is like what you would probably see on the cover of a fitness magazine, where she's got probably a six pack, good glutes, of course, it's a bikini, and very much feminine, not a lot of muscle, not as lean, really no vascularity. And of all of these, are looking at genetic shape, and your presentation on stage. So fitness modeling is kind of an outside area of that. A lot of these athletes will cross over, but as we know, like, fitness modeling is usually to push a product or a program or an idea or an image, and so that does need to be marketable. And so many of these people, men and women, can both do modeling, fitness modeling, but it is sort of a gray area because there's no real criteria. And so in our sport, you're being judged on certain points, but with fitness modeling, it's just, can you present this well? Are you a good total package? You have to have a nice body, but not overly really anything, because I think a lot of people now I think fitness is more accepted. Mm-hmm. So people want those things. But, I mean, 10 years ago, they'd say, yeah, that's gross. And people still do it. But for our fitness community and the rest of the world, it would be something you'd probably pick up on I don't even know about a Muscle and Fitness hers, but right. More of like a Shape magazine kind of thing.
Sure.
So just not as lean, still muscle development, but you still have to have you have to take care of your skin. You still have to take care of your hair, know how to do your hair and makeup. So
I feel like with Instagram though, and in other social media, that has gotten very, very, more, I think, more popular, just a more athletic look,
it is.
Toned look.
And it's exciting.
I mean, yeah, like having a big old ass is like super popular right now.
It is. I think that's a cool thing, is like that's most women. And I am very, I think all bodies are interesting. Actually, this was cool.
Mine is super interesting.
Bodies are interesting.
Really weird.
They're, well, dude, some of them are. I mean, even you think some of the best looking bodies, like, in real life, like you see these pictures, but in real life, you're like, man, that looks weird. But I think that's cool. Like, so about, oh, for New Year's, we went to Colorado for Decadence. Do you know what that is?
I'm not.
It's essentially a rave. It's okay. Just a big rave.
It's like EDM, I take it?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So it was my first one, and it was so cool because when I got there, there were girls just wearing, like, pretty much nothing. But it was nice. It was neat because, like...
That definitely sounds cool.
It was cool. But it was cool because you had some girls who were very thin, and then you had some girls who were thicker, and it was just like, they didn't give a shit. They were like, this is what I'm going to wear tonight. And it looked like they all felt confident in their bodies, and they all looked so different. And I was like, this was a nice, something to see other than bodybuilding, because I hate to say it, but like in bodybuilding and fitness, everyone starts to look kind of the same.
Right.
Sort of. I mean, unless you just have freakish genetics. And so it was cool to see other types of bodies who they didn't work out and they didn't eat right, but they also didn't give a fuck. And they just, yeah. they just wore what made them feel good that night. And I was like, that's cool. I like that.
I agree. Like, I'm always like pretty self-conscious. Like even just like going to a public pool, I'm like, man, I'm not trying to show off the keg, you know, when I take my shirt off. But, sometimes I'll see some people that really just don't care and they 100% own it and they're like confident.
I love that.
And I'm like, man, that's the thing. Like the confidence is the key, the key factor here.
Yeah,
I'm trying
to
get on their level.
I'm still trying to get on their level.
I know,
like
right?
I think that was just a really nice thing to see, because you didn't have to look a certain way there. And in my world, it's like there's a pressure. If you get too far out of shape, people think you fell off or something's
right.
wrong with you, or you're weak in some way, weak-minded. And it's frustrating because, like, you started to do this just for fun. That's where this has changed. Where I've noticed the change from when I started this when I was 15 years old to now I'm 29. When I first started doing this, there weren't people watching. You just did it or you didn't, and you would just get up on stage and do a contest. It really, and if anything, it might be in a magazine somewhere down the road. Now it's every day. I post things occasionally, but every time I post it, I just keep thinking, you know, what's making me any different than the 20th girl that posted the exact same thing this morning? And so that the way I feel about it is just like this big ocean of successful, awesome people that I'm just, you know, now feel like I'm a part of trying to, I don't want to say compete, but there's a lot of times where I take a picture because I'm like, oh, I feel good about this. And then I'm like, I'm not going to post that because it doesn't look like that girl. Like it is kind of weird because you start to kind of doubt yourself when you see all of that. And I'm not the only person who feels that way, but there's a lot of times where I think I'm making progress, but then I see someone else's picture. I'm like, well, shit, you know, I'll just keep this.
You know, I don't think we even have to be like in the fitness world to feel that way, because I think every day we feel like, at least I do, self-conscious at one point or another. And like, hey, man, like I'm going to post this picture of me, but that's not as cool as like the picture of this other dude, you know? But
yeah, that is weird. I didn't mean to say competing really. I meant to say a comparison, because I mean, that is a real thing. You do start to compare what used to be your journey to how it measures up to other people or what other people think your journey should be. And just kind of like what I was talking about earlier, like sometimes I just need to step away from this. And some people don't really understand that.
Sure.
And so that makes me feel like, you know, I have to keep it separate because that a lot of people wouldn't understand. But I think for longevity's sake, I think that's just it. You have to kind of keep things separate and keep them to yourself. And I've made the mistake of putting myself out there too much before. I did the documentary, and I'm really glad that I did that. But I think the year following, I put too much of myself into social media, and I kind of lost touch with the reasons I was doing it in the first place. And I don't know if it really benefited me as much as I thought it did at the time. I think it actually took away from my focus, and it did kind of start to make me feel like I was comparing my life to other people. When really, I mean, now, like I said, I may or may not tell you what I'm up to, but it's for me now.
Sure.
And so it's
social media is a hard game to kind of get into, because you you want to be present, and people tell you that they want you to be present and all that sort of thing. But then sometimes you just get hung up with, well, I got to post every day, and I've got to be on the game every day, and I got to have a new video, and I have to do this.
It is a job. It
so
is a job.
It is a job all unto itself.
Yeah.
On top of the other jobs that you have.
Yeah, and if someone can do that and keep if it complements what they're already doing, that's great. But if it starts to take away, I'd say you're kind of crossing the balance a little bit. And just to regain balance, I mean, I'll be honest, I hate taking pictures of myself or selfies. I just think I feel so stupid doing it. But I do like to show people what can be done. And so, like, if it helps somebody, I'm happy to post it. But I have to keep in the back of my head that I don't owe this to anybody. It's not, I don't owe the world motivation.
Right. That's
so
true.
So sometimes when I'm struggling to motivate myself, I'm not going to share that with other people, because that would just take away from, if I can't help myself, I can't help anybody else. And so sometimes I just really need to help myself first.
Yeah.
And keep it low key.
Do you think that bodybuilding in a certain way that you have to kind of, I mean, do you think it's kind of like a selfish or not, maybe not
yeah.
selfish in the negative way, but
it is selfish.
You think so?
Yeah. But then again, so is anything else if someone really wants it.
True.
So you could take any kind of career and say that person is being selfish, but really I say, you know, we are the only person who can make this happen. Like, you know, you're the only person that make your stuff happen. I'm the only person that make my stuff happen. And really nobody else should care more about your dreams than their own.
Right.
I mean, it's nice to have the support, but I wouldn't expect anyone to do what it takes for me to get to my goal. So I do have to be selfish.
Sure.
But bodybuilding in general,
it doesn't seem like, well, obviously it's not a team sport per se.
No, it's an individual sport. So right. I would say it's more individual than it is selfish, because most people, I think, are starting to get a grip on how to balance it with their entire life. And it takes practice. I mean, you've got some athletes and I've been that athlete for a long time where I was too caught up in the idea and I didn't have good balance in my life. And so I was very, like I said, just started to get like a little one-dimensional where I thought like, well, I can't do anything. I have to do this contest. I can't go to this birthday party because I have to eat the diet. Now I just figure out a way to just eat my food and not eat what's in front of me, but I still need to be around friends and be social.
You got to keep your sanity.
Yeah. And I was becoming a hermit and putting other things aside. I mean, when I was younger, I just, even finances, I was like, that probably wasn't a wise choice. Just because
that's exactly how I feel about music. I spent like 13 years playing and now like sometimes I look back on it and I'm just
that
like,
wasn't the good
all
idea.
The, I had a great, I've, it's gotten me everything that I've got, that I have in my life, but I'm just saying like financially,
yeah,
the time away, just going out on the road for months at a time and having to leave a job or quit a job and then get a job when you get back, and just that
yeah.
like instability, you know, sometimes you do have to, I don't know, take a step back, I guess. And, I don't know. I don't even know where I was going with that. Really,
well, I mean, back to the selfish thing, like it can be seen as selfish, but not every bodybuilder is a selfish person.
That's true.
But I guess by the term selfish being that you have to do it for yourself, and that means literally nobody can do it for you. Nobody
right.
can mask anything. They can't do your workouts. They can't eat for you.
You're 100% accountable, it seems
yeah.
like, in the world of bodybuilding.
Don't do it, it'll show, and if you do it, you reap the rewards. But you become so focused in what you're doing. Some people understand that, some people don't. Some people don't tolerate it very well, and I've lost several friends over the sport, and I'm not bothered by it now, just because I realize if they fell off that easily, then they weren't really my friends.
Sure.
But most people in my life understand that, like, yeah, I'm gonna have to make some major, especially my boyfriend. Like, he is the most supportive person. Him and my parents, man, like, that's my team. So
yeah.
it is an individual sport, but they understand that there's just stuff I have to do and things that I can't do, and all of them are like, you know, yeah, if that's what you need to do, then do it so that you can get to where you need to go. And I'm very fortunate to have that. I have a lot of clients who their husbands don't understand, they're not supportive,
yeah.
their kids don't even come to their contests and they don't get it. And so like that, I can see where the battle is very, very hard. But I've also met some really awesome, very, very high up athletes in the sport, and they've got families and they don't miss a ball game. They don't miss a special event, and they make time for their family, and they don't make their sport their family's punishment. And I think that that is when you can consider yourself a professional at this, is when you can live your life and it doesn't take away from your quality of life and anyone around you. I mean, that's a very hard task.
And I feel like practice. Anytime you're bettering yourself, it's kind of difficult for other people to wrap their head around that.
It is.
Even whenever I was like losing weight, they're just like, well, you know what? You're not funny now that you're thin or something like that. And I'm like, come on, dude, I'm still funny, man. Shit. I'm trying to be. I'm still trying super hard.
Jokes.
But that is different. Like, I think it's difficult for people to see other people. I think it makes them reflect on themselves too, and so I can see where maybe having some people may not have that support system, but that's good. You have a whole team behind you, a team of people repping.
Yeah, and I would rather instill the idea that like if I can do it, if you can do it, if someone else can do it, then you can do it too. But then some people, like we just talked about earlier, aren't willing to do it, and you just hit on the head. They become very aware of themselves and that doubt and the lack of confidence in themselves, and that's what starts to make them kind of mask that with other words or behaviors. So it kind of makes me sad when people do that, because what I know the truth is that they're just not confident in themselves to do it. And that, that's sad to me. I want to fix it all the time. I'm a fixer. And so I've decided now it's like, if that's the case, then it's better off if we're just not around each other. But now I like to have people who I can at least put the idea in their head that like, yeah, they can do it. So sometimes I've actually been able to change people's perspective on that, and then they end up doing something. Or I don't want to say I have, but, you know, it's nice to watch them go from where they're kind of being snide about it or snarky, and then they kind of start to ask questions because they're interested, and now they're doing it. So I like to watch that when they kind of
transition.
Yeah.
That's how I was with the gym. I have my cousin Ryan. Cousin Ryan, I know you're listening because you are one of my biggest supporters, but he is listening. And
that's awesome.
You know, he used to always be like, hey, man, why don't you just come to the gym with me, dude? And I was like, you know what, man? I'd rather just eat these pizza rolls and peace out. Like, I'm not trying to be that dude, like, that's trying to go to this gym. I'm not trying to work on my figure. And then
I'm not trying to be the best at
sports. Then he started getting – exactly. And then he started, like – he's like, I'm like, oh, dude, you're looking good, man. You're looking fit. You're looking tan. What is this? And he's like, it's the gym, bro. And then it was, like, one of those days where I was like, all right, man, I'll try it. And I got on the elliptical. I did it for 3 minutes. And just puked my guts out, and like that was all I could do at that time. But and then like 7 months later, I had lost like over 100 pounds.
Because you came back,
just kept going back every day. You know, that's all that matters, really. Like I said, consistency.
Yeah,
I keep saying it over and over.
Mr. Dog,
Sean, consistency. All right, final thing. I'm going to wrap this up here, but just to kind of tie into some of my previous shows, they're all musical related. What is on your workout playlist?
I listen to some weird shit,
dude. So do I.
And it doesn't make sense. They're not workout songs. And I'll be honest, like a lot of times I don't listen to what's being said, like the lyrics. I just like the beat or just the sounds of it. So I have a really strange mix of artists. But I always listen to Skrillex. I always listen to Nine Inch Nails. trying to get other ones.
Just the choice jams.
More Skrillex.
Do you want to know what my workout playlist is? I'm going to tell you this. Mine, it's the worst. It is Fifth Harmony, Katy Perry.
Oh, my God. You're one of those guys.
Demi Lovato, Selena Gomez.
How do you
Ariana
listen to
Grande.
That shit?
And I don't even listen to it in real life. Look at me. Like, I've got tattoos. I've got my ears all gauged out. I'm not into – I don't play music like that.
I can't stand that stuff.
That
people
is what
go,
I work out to.
Oh, I can't wait for you to hear this song. I'm like, I fucking hate it. Get out of here.
I'm like, man, I spent so much time, like, I guess in my personal life, like, you just listen to, like, I've heard so much, you know, Appetite for Destruction or, like, you know.
Breathe Carolina is another one I got.
Maybe that's why you get results and I don't, is because you have the proper workout.
Oh, I've
playlist.
Got some good music. Oh, I See Stars. You knew that?
I do know them. We did a Warped Tour with them.
My God. That's my favorite. One of my favorites. Yeah, I've got good music. I don't mean to brag, but.
She's got good music, guys. Yeah. Well, Autumn, where can everybody find your presence online? Your Christmas presence. No, where can everybody find you on social media?
Facebook, just look up Well, okay, so I could say look up Autumn Cleveland, but that's for some reason full. So now I have an athlete page. So it's Autumn Automatic Cleveland, but, and this goes for my Instagram too, which is also automatic. It's AUTUMNATIKK.
Don't worry, I'll post the link.
Thanks,
everybody.
Because people go, Atomic?
Atomic? Like,
yeah, you got it.
Yes.
You got it.
You nailed it.
And then my website, autumncleveland.com. I have a Snapchat. I have no idea how to use it. I am the worst with technology. I'm so bad. I think I have a Twitter account. I don't know how to use that either. Well, I know how to use it. I just don't have anything to say that's one sentence long.
We could start a club about, like, being bad at social media, maybe we'll tweet each other never about it, obviously.
Just like one letter.
I've been trying so hard. Like, I even sent out a tweet today. It's like, I suck at Twitter. Here's the new episode. So
here's my update.
So here's this new episode.
Yeah, I've got, like, several of those platforms, but I don't really use
them. We Google Autumn Cleveland, is it just going to be a bunch of photos of...
Yes, from Hooters pageants to fitness stuff.
Oh, I thought it was just going to be a bunch of, like, foliage photos from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, you get one of those, like, the falling leaves.
Like, check out this tree overlooking the Brown Stadium.
You'll get that.
Fantastic.
If you put... Yeah, probably pop up.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, autumncleveland.com, Autumn Cleveland on Google, YouTube. She's the subject of a documentary.
Oh, yeah,
there.
I do have that.
On
I forgot
the
about
YouTube. So you're going to have to check that out. Motivation.
Yeah, bodybuilding motivation, I think.
Bodybuilding motivation. It's absolutely fantastic.
Just get on my channel and follow it.
I'm going to ask you this one question. You know what? I forgot to ask you, and I'm going to just put it in here somewhere.
Okay.
That's what she said. What is spray tan?
Oh.
I need you to talk to me about spray tan.
Let's
real quick
talk spray
before
tans.
We go any further.
I am glad that you're asking, because just last year I went to, I think, 6 different cities to compete. And almost all of them I was pointed at and laughed at. My boyfriend even, like, went up to one guy and, like, said something to him because he was so obvious about it. And instead of just asking why I'm so tan, they think that I think that that looks good.
Like, this, you're doing this for, like a fashion?
Yeah,
like that lady.
I just got a spray tan, you know, for the weekend. Like, that's definitely not what it is. I'm aware that I'm really dark and orange. But the reason that this exists is because when you're doing a bodybuilding show and you're on a stage and the lights are really bright, it actually washes out all of the definition that you've worked really hard for. And there's a running joke in bodybuilding that tan fat looks better than pale fat.
Right.
So, and that's kind of the idea between, like, or behind, getting tan. Like, you wouldn't buy a suit, learn all these poses, do all this hard work, diet and everything, if not adding the finishing touch to show that. And so being tan does serve a purpose because the lights are so bright. So anyone who understands theater will get that, their theater makeup even. So it's
does it
cool.
just get everywhere? Like, do you, like, go spray tan and then like go to bed at night and then it just, like,
rules.
Get all over the place?
There are so many rules. Once you get the first coat on, you cannot shower until after the show's done. So that's the worst part. It smells awful. When you're getting the tan, basically, they have a guy's room, they have a girl's room, but there's these little three-sided tents, and they make you basically get naked, and then you have to put these little sticky things on your feet so the bottom of your feet don't get tanned. And you just have to wait. So it's, like, it's really awkward because there's other people standing across from you. And it's like you just naturally look at people, but you're like, I don't want to look at them because they're naked. And you try to hide because you don't want them to look at you. And so it's, like, super awkward. And then they come and spray you with this really cold spray gun. And it's terrible because you just have to wait there for, like, 10 minutes while stuff dries. So, like, once it all dries, then you can get dressed, but it gets on literally anything that you touch. And so you actually you can get fined in the convention centers or the hotels if you touch the walls or their sheets.
I was going to say, I guarantee you that the hotels somewhere have started, like, you have to put down a deposit for the sheets.
Actually, this was the first time this happened.
Or is it BYOS, bring your own sheets?
A lot of people do that to avoid this, but you have to pay for the sheets if you ruin them. But now the last hotel I went to, they must have had this bodybuilding show there so many years because they already have stained, it stains everything pink for whatever reason. So they have all these stained pink sheets that they've just saved from other people who have already ruined them, and they give them to you. So if you check in for the bodybuilding show, then you get to use the old sheets.
That's genius.
To avoid
kind of gross.
Having to pay.
Totally.
I mean,
into
they're
the
clean,
idea,
but
though.
Yeah, it's just funny that someone's already ruined them.
Hilarious. All right, guys. Well, that's it for today. You can check me out at SeanVersusWild.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, on Twitter. I suck at Twitter, just like Autumn sucks at Twitter. But SeanVersusWild, Facebook, Instagram, at SeanVersusWild Podcast. And thanks, buddy, for coming on the old
show. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, guys.